WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning, and it's definitely overcast out there, breezy, 49 degrees, but the worst is yet to come with the nor'easter coming in, so batten down the hatches, as they say. Although, does anybody really have hatches anymore? And if they did, do they have to batten them down? I was telling my friend Stephanie the other day, we were in Plymouth at the Plymouth Bay Winery, and we were talking about the storms that come in on the Plymouth waterfront. When I was a kid, I lived in Plymouth when I was in elementary school, and when there was a storm, we would go down to the waterfront and kind of watch it come in, either there or we would go over by the old, what was it, Burt's Restaurant, and we'd watch the waves and everything like that. And I was telling her how, the first hurricane I remember was Hurricane Gloria in 85. And I said I had no idea what to expect when I saw my dad taping big X's onto our sliding glass doors that went out to the backyard. I was like, man, are the windows going to blow in? Is that really a thing? And then, of course, it, wasn't too bad at all. But we're going to get some driving rain, some wind gusts, and just be safe out there, especially if you're coming out tomorrow night to the Old Dighton Town Hall to hear me talk about Ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle. It's at 6:30. So it's being presented by the Dighton Public Library, but it's going to be at the Old Dighton Town Hall because they're renovating the library. So you'll be able to have a seat, come on over, hear me talk about some ghost stories and other fun stuff, and do a little Q&A afterwards. And it all starts 6:30 at the Old Dighton Town Hall, 1111 Somerset Avenue. Free to attend. No RSVP needed. I don't know what the parking situation is. I'm sure there's a parking lot, so I should just look it up online. But I'm sure there's plenty of parking. And come on out and get spooky with me. It'll be fun. So there's a lot that we can talk about. The Jake Tapper book, Original Sin, is out now. It came out yesterday. They've been making the media rounds, talking about what's in it. And certainly, if you want to discuss any of that, we can. But I will point you to Barry's article at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that is kind of a hey, remember when moment that also links back to Chris McCarthy's article at the time. In 2022, July 2022, when Joe Biden came to Somerset and had that slip up where he said, why I and so many others have cancer, when talking about pollution in the environment. And Chris asked the question then, is there something wrong with Biden that he's not telling us? And this was in 2022 where we hadn't yet gotten into the thick of the people questioning Joe Biden's mental decline quite yet. I mean, certainly there were people who were talking about it, but, it wasn't a daily topic back then. And Chris was not writing this as a hit piece on Joe Biden. He actually felt like the speech was very well done. But that was a concerning thing to have slip up. And at the time, we were told, he misspoke because he had dealt with some skin cancer, but it was taken care of. But so Barry writes, the speculation is maybe he did know then, and maybe it was kept from people. But as I mentioned yesterday, I watched a doctor on TV explaining that you can, it's not that this prostate cancer necessarily comes on that fast and that aggressively. It is aggressive, but you can miss the signs that it's there. And just in the case of my own cancer experience, I had no idea that I had a tumor in my kidney. I only found out that I had a tumor in my kidney because I got a kidney stone in my other kidney. And they did a MRI and found this mass in there. And even then, they didn't even know it was cancer until they took my kidney out, took the mass out, and tested it. I had no other symptoms of having cancer. So, I mean, and you know, I hate to use my own diagnosis as a comparison because they're not comparable. It's everything's not apples to apples. It's like when a professional athlete, you know, Jason Tatum injures his ACL or his MCL, and people are like, well, you know, when I was in high school, I did that, and it took me 8 weeks to come back. But you're not Jason Tatum. It's not a direct comparison. But anyway, you can read Barry's article at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. He also has another one about an interesting place you might want to take a little trip to, a little road trip to Connecticut, if you've never been to Gillette Castle. So you can see photos and learn more about that as well. I also have the latest development on the Air Taunton saga, the restaurant that's in the Taunton Municipal Airport. So yesterday, as I mentioned while I was on the air, Chef Charles Herman had posted more to Facebook and referenced the health inspection violations and how they, you know, they weren't really a big deal. And I got a copy of the inspection report, thought it was a little strange that it wasn't online with all the other inspection reports. I did not get a statement from, so I asked for a statement from the health department on the inspection report. I did not get a response to that request for a statement, but I did get the report. They provided me with the report, and you can read that at WBSM.com and the latest air story there. And when you go through the report, it not only has the 26 violations listed, but it has photos of them all as well. And as I said, some of them happen in restaurants. One of them was outdated testing strips for sanitation. So when you are running a dishwasher or when you are using, you know, making your pot and pan sink to wash your pots and pans, you're supposed to have a certain parts per million of sanitizer in with the water. And you have these test strips that you order to test to make sure that you're hitting the right range of chemical balance for sanitation purposes. And every restaurant I know and I've ever been in has them in there. And I can't tell you how many of them actually use them. You know, they're probably smart enough to make sure that they just order new ones every couple of months so that they're not storing expired ones on top of the machine. But I don't know how many people test it every day. You buy a brand new machine, you just take for granted that it's working correctly. You know, this restaurant's been open a year. They're just taking for granted the fact that this brand new dishwasher is probably working correctly. And then, so, you know, things like that. Things like the sink needed to be cleaned and sanitized better. Well, they came in during the workday. You know, the waffle machine, the outside of the waffle machine was dirty. These things happen in every restaurant. Food was not labeled properly. I don't know any kitchen where they have everything. I shouldn't say that. I know one person that was very let's just say very rigid about that. It was almost like a compulsion with them. They had everything labeled. They had everything dated. They had it down to the time that they put it in the cooler. So, yeah, you know, some restaurants are like that. But most, you know, they just throw something in the cooler and I'll go throw a label on that later and then forget to. But then there were other things that were a little bit more concerning. Like they had some moldy onions. They had some dairy products that had mold on the top of the containers. And that was because they had refrigeration that wasn't the proper temperature. Those are things that are concerning. Those are things that can make people sick. But it wasn't serious enough that the Board of Health felt the need to close them down and tell them, you can't be open today and you need to fix all these things now. They fixed a few of the issues on site. And then they gave them a couple of days to fix the rest, and they let them continue business. And that's what Chef Charles talked with me about at length yesterday. And you can read his comments and his response in the story as well. But last night, he had encouraged people to show up for citizens' input of the Taunton City Council meeting. And eight other people and Chef Charles and his wife all spoke during the citizens' input time. And that was enough to make one of the counselors file a motion, propose a motion to send a letter to the airport commission asking them to reconsider terminating the contract with AIR, the 5-year contract that's only a year in. And as it turns out, just procedurally, they can't do that. They have to actually have it as a formal agenda item to be able to take up that discussion. And they want to get more information first, get a copy of the lease and be able to know the facts of it all. But it did seem like they had an appetite to try to, not that they can do anything, because the airport commission by law is who runs the airport. The council can't interfere with that. But they at least want to, you know, show support for the business if they can. And if what they're being told is correct. 508-996-0500. Let me take a call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good, how are you? Right. I worked in food service for years and years, and oh yeah, the Board of Health, and they used to come in. We always had the tablets, those blue tablets, and instead of buckets with a, you know, with a clean cloth near it to wipe down the counters and all that. And then I always saw him when he come in, and he'd take me around with him. But it didn't. Everything came back fine because we had thermometers in every refrigerator. They had to have one, and then if you had soup, you had to have this little tiny thermometer and make sure it was the right degrees. He would check that. He would put it in the meatball thing and check that. It was very thorough. And now then with the coffee cups, we had the self-serve coffee bar. And they had to be in the plastic when they're facing down because we didn't have one of those big silver things you could pull them out of, you know, the coffee cups.
Yep.
And all that stuff. I mean, they were very strict. And then asked where your food came from. And they looked in the freezers to make sure you weren't making your own food and bringing it in. And there were, you know, a lot of people do that. And they, so it's, yeah, they're very strict, but they have to be.
Right. And you want them to be. But also, you want them to be looking for everything, but you also want them to be understanding enough to say, oh, I know that that's something you can just fix. And now you've learned your lesson on it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want them going around shutting everybody down or fining people, but, you know, you want them to keep an eye out just to reiterate to the people working there how important that stuff is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had the big shots. His name was Jeff at the time. And then we had this other little old man, Mr. Blackmore. He was a nice man. He went everywhere. I don't know if he went to Wayham or not. But then he had surgery and he had passed away. But he used to be in every single bus restaurant I worked at.
Well, I would say it's usually by the town. So we were always inspected by people that work for the Wareham Board of Health.
Right. But yeah. He was a nice man.
We also, you know, the health inspector and the head of the Board of Health or the health department for Wareham, they both used to come in every day to eat lunch. So, like, there's no better sign than eating at the place where the health inspector is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, then they used to order sandwiches to go. Yeah, same thing. And, they checked everything. And, of course, they brought me around like, oh, is there a thermometer? It's right here. It's a good, thank God. And it was right there. I know I tested it every day. But, you know, sometimes you forget where you put it.
I impressed when I worked in Lakeville. I impressed the health inspector because he's like, "Oh, not a lot of restaurants go out and buy a digital thermometer. You have a digital thermometer to test your temperatures. I'm impressed." And I was like, "Well, I used it for ghost hunting, and I just I bring it in here and then I leave it here, and then if I have a ghost hunting event, I take it with me."
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, we always got a good write-up, though. And it was always perfect. I was like, thank God.
There you go.
We didn't get any more money for it, but it was like a... anyway.
Right. You, but it was your good. Award is you get to keep your job.
Yeah, you get your title. You're all set. All righty.
Thank you for sharing. Day. You too.
Yep. Bye-bye.
And I mean, I like I said, you know, the health inspector used to come to eat all the time, so we were never really too afraid when they came in. And, but, you know, they always got to find something. And a lot of the things that they find, again, are easy things that just get, like, one of the things we used to always get bagged on is that we didn't have a bucket with a rag of hot water and bleach on every counter to wipe down those counters. And, you know, we would explain, like, nobody's using that counter. There's only two of us working. We're not doing any heavy prep. Nobody's even working back there today. But you had to set it up anyway. You know, if you have a cutting board countertop in the basement, because sometimes you prepare catering jobs in the basement, well, then you better put a bucket of hot water and bleach down there. And when the water gets cold, replace it. Okay. But the scary thing was when I actually went through food safe certification. And like I'm 20 years into the business when I had to take it for the first time because I was never the food safe manager. So I didn't have to go through it. And so I'm sitting there taking the course. And all of this stuff is pretty common knowledge to me anyway from working in the business. But some of it is common knowledge to me by being a human being. Like wash your hands after you go to the bathroom. Don't sneeze into food. You know, and I'm hearing the questions that some of these people were asking, and I was kind of a jerk. I was like, where does that person work? Like, I wanted to know each place that these people worked, and they were asking these questions, so that I knew better than to go in there. Because if those were the questions they were asking, I didn't have much faith in them. So I guess not everybody is smart enough or savvy enough to know what they're supposed to do. I got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
Are we closer to no tax on tips? A bomb threat in the air, grounding a plane out west, and Elon Musk cutting back on political spending.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Department of Homeland Security Chief Kristi Noem is defending the potential suspension of habeas corpus in a Senate hearing yesterday. Democratic Senator Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire asked Noem to define legal right to due process.
A constitutional right that the president has to be able to remove people from this country
Habeas corpus, that's incorrect.
The Trump administration has floated suspending the legal right to due process to help with its crackdown on illegal immigration. Noem later said that she supports habeas corpus and added that she also recognizes the president's right to suspend it. The No Tax on Tips Act is moving closer to reality. It's moving on to the House after it passed unanimously in the Senate yesterday. Democratic Senator Jackie Rosen of Nevada called for immediate passage of the bipartisan bill, and there were no GOP objections. The bill establishes a new tax deduction of up to $25,000 for tips. Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas introduced the No Tax on Tips Act earlier this year. President Trump floated the idea during his campaign, and Democrats also supported it. Eliminating taxes on tips is also expected to be included in the upcoming House GOP mega bill. An arrest has been made after a Hawaiian Airlines flight from San Diego to Honolulu was grounded yesterday morning because of a passenger making a bomb threat. 35-year-old John Stay facing state and federal charges of making a false bomb threat and faces up to a year behind bars if convicted. San Diego Harbor Police say he told a flight attendant the passenger next to him had a bomb, forcing the flight to be grounded for several hours. All 298 passengers and crew were evacuated, and nothing suspicious was found. Elon Musk says he's done enough when it comes to political spending. The tech billionaire planning to reduce his financial contributions after flowing millions of dollars into the 2024 presidential election and other campaigns over the past year. Filings show that he spent at least $250 million to help get President Trump elected to a second term. However, Musk hasn't completely ruled out contributing and told reporters, "If I see a reason to do political spending in the future, I'll do it." You want to be where everybody knows your name. It's last call for Norm Peterson. Lisa Carton has more details on the passing of Cheers star George Wendt.
Afternoon, everybody.
Norman?
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
Cheers star George Wendt is dead at the age of 76. His family said he died in his sleep on Tuesday. Wendt starred as Norm Peterson in the hit sitcom and was nominated six straight times for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series at the Emmys. After Cheers went off the air, he was given his own sitcom called The George Wendt Show. Wendt also appeared in films like The Little Rascals and Airplane 2, the sequel. I'm Lisa Carton.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox blanked the Mets last night 2-0. Those two teams back at it again tonight at Fenway at 6:45.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good morning on this Wednesday, waking up to a gray start, and that's just how we're going to end the day as well here. Clouds are stubborn. They're sticking around all day long. Temperatures as we wake up in the mid and upper 40s, and this afternoon we're only getting into the low and mid 50s here on the South Coast. Definitely a day for an extra layer, at least a sweatshirt or something like that as you're heading out the door. Mist and drizzle still stays put along the coast as we move into the afternoon, and then we introduce a couple of showers later in the day, especially after 5 p.m. It's not a washout of a Wednesday, but it's not bright and sunny either. That said, Thursday is looking like a wash. Heavy rain and gusty winds on the way with a late-season coastal storm. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
In. What are you doing this weekend? How would you like to have some fun for the whole family, but also have yourself some wine? Mark your calendars, because the Vineyard Vibes Market comes to Running Brook Vineyard and Winery in Dartmouth May 24th and 25th. You can enjoy live music, food trucks, pony rides, a petting zoo, games, local vendors, and more, all in a beautiful outdoor vineyard setting. Celebrate National Wine Day on May 25th and enjoy a glass of local wine while supporting incredible small businesses. You can find out more information on Facebook at Coastal Community Markets and Events for details and updates. Vineyard Vibes Market at Running Brook Vineyard in Dartmouth. Sip, shop, and celebrate community. That sounds like a lot of fun, and it sounds like it'll be a great way to spend the day, even if the weather's a little iffy this weekend. It's going to be a lot better with some wine in your hand. And then maybe you're going to go out to eat somewhere this weekend, right? Or are you going to second guess it now, reading that inspection report that's in the story about Air Taunton, and knowing that that's, some of that stuff is actually kind of commonplace in restaurants? I mean, I don't want to tell you all the things I've seen over the years, but one of the things that really grossed me out to the point that I thought we should have fired this person over it, but instead they kept him around. One of our cooks was making meatballs, and he's at the back table in the kitchen of the diner where I worked. Now, keep in mind, it's not the same owners, I don't think he works there anymore, but I have not stepped foot in that place since 2012, so I have no idea. But he's at the back table making meatballs, and he's got the big, giant metal bowl full of hamburger and breadcrumbs and all of this. And he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, which, of course, you know, you're not allowed to smoke in the kitchen, but he always did anyway. It wasn't the worst thing he was doing while he was working. But anyway, he's smoking the cigarette and ashing it into the meatballs on purpose. On purpose. And then making jokes about it. Well, if you don't like it, don't eat the meatballs. Yeah, I wasn't going to eat anything your dirty hands touched anyway, but whatever. And it was a different time then. But still, you were supposed to wear gloves when you're preparing food. We didn't even order gloves. So this just gives you some idea of the kind of stuff that goes on. Jeff in New Bedford says on App Chat, I remember barf from You Can't Do That on Television. That would sum up why they have Serve Safe now. You know what barf would say to that? I heard that. So that was eerily too much like people that I worked with. And it was actually Barth, B-A-R-T-H. But Barth was eerily like too many of the people that I worked with over the years. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Oh, hanging in. I wanted to tell you thank you for the tickets. I went yesterday.
How was it?
Very good.
I saw some photos online. It looked like people had a lot of fun.
Yeah, Johnny Damon still looking good.
I did a video call with him. Yeah, he still looks exactly the same. He looks like he could still be playing today.
He's a big guy, too.
Yeah, how was the food?
Good. It was chicken, but it was tender, and it was good. They had a nice salad and little pastry desserts. And the table was good. A lot of nice people. I met nice people. I knew some people.
Yeah, Paul Santos was there. I saw he was there. Did you get talk to Paul?
Yeah, and I talked to somebody else I knew. I knew about three people.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that you had a great time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, congratulations on winning again.
Okay.
How's everything else going, okay?
Yeah, pretty good. I just got over a cold, though.
Yeah, it's that time of year where you're going to, in between seasons, you're always going to get, now we're going to get all the allergy season stuff happening, too.
Yeah, I don't know how I got it, but I did. It was awful, though. But I'm all right now.
Well, hopefully you pass it on to some of those Yankee fans that were there last night.
No, because it's gone now.
Okay. So I was just kidding.
I wouldn't have went if I was, you know, still had sneezing and stuff.
That's the way to be. That's the way to be. I wish more people were like that.
All right.
Okay.
I'll be listening. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye, Tim.
And yes, Shauneen won the tickets to go to the Johnny Damon Celebrity Scholarship Dinner last night for the One South Coast Chamber. And as I mentioned, I saw some photos. And as she said, Johnny Damon still looks good. But it, to me, you know, what I liked about it is you could see in everybody's faces just how happy they were to get to meet him. And I've been to some of those dinners before, not with the chamber putting them on, but before when they were put on by UMass Dartmouth. And to get that chance to talk to those athletes and get them in a storytelling mood where they're, you know, and sometimes they might tell some stories that they probably shouldn't tell. But my absolute favorite one that I went to was Bill Russell, because, oh, I loved hearing that man tell a story, and I loved his laugh, that cackle that he had. And one of my favorite things that I've ever done in my life was I don't even remember what I was talking to him about, but I was in the hallway of TD Garden, and I was having a conversation with him in the hallway, and I forget what I said, but whatever it was, it made him laugh, and he started cackling, and I was like, this is the best feeling in the world. I made Bill Russell laugh. So, but you get the chance to talk to the athletes and hear these stories and get stuff signed. It's a great thing. So if you missed out on this one, make sure you sign up for next year, and I don't know who they're going to bring in next year, but it'll be worth it. might be due for a Celtic. Maybe, did they have the one with Paul Pierce? I think that one got canceled. Maybe it's time to bring him back. Or imagine the stories Kevin Garnett would tell. Just putting a bug in your ear now, Katie, if you're listening. All right, I've got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. We'll go back to the phone. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing?
Got a question for you. I'm positive that you've listened to the Her tapes, quote unquote, that came out, the interviews with Joe Biden.
Just the clips I've seen on the news, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that Joe Biden was running the country?
So from what they were explaining, I saw a little bit of Jake Tapper's co-author, Alex, I can't think of his last name, but I saw him last night on CNN, and he said that, and the people that they talked to, and I think they talked to 200 people for the book on the record, and yep. They said that it was kind of like a presidency by committee. But that Biden did sign off on everything that, you know, obviously in any presidency, there's some low level decisions that can be made without the president's sign off. But, you know, ultimately the buck would stop with them, but that they were still getting his approval on anything that they did.
Yeah. There are things that have been coming out, and yeah, they might have been labeled conspiracy theories while Joe was in office, but now, you know, we're kind of reflecting on it a little bit more and going a little bit deeper into it. For like Mike Johnson stating that Joe Biden was just completely unaware of what was going on because somebody was lying to the president about things. And he didn't even know. Like, he didn't even know what he was signing. So it's kind of scary. So I was just curious.
Yeah, I don't think based on what they were saying on television last night, I don't think that, you know, their reporting reflects something that deep. They said it was, I think he characterized it as certainly it was somebody who had issues at time with recall, but that it was not somebody who was mentally incapacitated, that it might be somebody who is definitely, you know, slowed down and somebody who is definitely experiencing some moments, but that it wasn't somebody that had a mental incapacitation.
Interesting. Well, this is CNN, so you can take it for...
Well, but this is also a reporter who spent a good amount of time talking to over 200 sources about this. That's who was saying it. It wasn't the CNN anchors or anything. That was the person who was saying it.
Yeah. You always have to question the sources, too, because what are the sources, you know, are they a D or an R or, you know?
So what's your point? A D is not believable, but an R would be?
Well, you got to look at the context of things, you know, where it's coming from and what their opinion is leading into.
Well, if somebody talked to 200 people and then are reporting what 200 people told them, I'm going to believe them. That's doing the good work there. That's a lot of time and energy invested in getting those answers. That's not just something they're speculating off the cuff like you are.
Right, well, I know, but you always have, like I just said, you always have to look a little bit deeper into it. What if it was a Democrat town hall? And there were 200 people there, and you interviewed them, but they're all Democrats.
That's not what they did, though.
I don't know. I'm just thinking. But I don't. There were too many questions when Joe Biden was in office, and decisions that he was making did not seem like they came from him. You know, if you're looking back through his history, he would say certain things 20 years ago that kind of didn't match up with what he was doing. I don't know. It just seemed
weird. I don't look at that as necessarily proof of anything, because people can evolve in their policies, and people can decide to acquiesce to certain groups too. So, you know, there's certainly change that can happen. I mean, Donald Trump isn't doing all the things he said he was going to do either. He's reversed course on some things. They just reversed course on one of the wind development permits.
Oh yeah. And I could bear witness to it. people do change. I get that. But I'm just curious because it seemed, in my opinion, I don't think Joe Biden was running the country fully. I don't think that he was fully aware of what was going on because, and this is giving him some credit, that he's not dumb enough to do some of the things that he actually did. Like, you know, there was a day after the mass shooting down in Tennessee by a girl, a transgender. They say she was transgender. The very next day or a couple of days after was Transgender Day of Visibility. And it completely inappropriate. And he kind of made a joke out of it. And I don't know what.
Why would that be inappropriate? What's inappropriate about that? If a black person shot up a school, would you not have Martin Luther King Day 2 days later?
There's such a thing as tact. And if people died by a transgender person.
You know that Transgender Day of Visibility was not something that Joe Biden started, right? It's something that was going on before he was president.
I get it, but I don't think it was the president would be the person to come out.
So if a Christian person shot up a school 2 days before Christmas, do we cancel Christmas?
Oh boy! All right, we're going down a path I didn't want to go down.
Well,
morning.
if you make a point that doesn't make any sense, I want you to try to justify that point.
It doesn't make any sense to you because you're you.
It doesn't make any sense to you because you're only bringing it up based on your prejudices because you don't like transgender people. So you thought it was a bad thing to have Transgender Day of Visibility. So this is a way to attack a guy that you didn't like and a segment of people that you don't like. But the equivalency there is fair. You don't cancel a group for an entire day of people because one person did something bad.
All right. But there's tactfulness, you know. And I don't think that was a tactless.
Well, I'm glad that we don't use you as the moral compass for society then.
All right.
Have a good day.
All right.
And we're going to take a break here and we'll come back with more of your calls in just a bit.